Well, good evening to you all. My name's Joe. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's good to be back. It's good to be back at the first 5 p.m. service for the year. Welcome. Hopefully you've had a good break. I know I've had a good break. I've been off for a few weeks, and so today's my first day back, and so it's good to be here and to come and share a word with you tonight. And so, we're going to talk about this whole series we were doing, this Get Set, about getting prepared and ready for the year that's in front of us. And so tonight we're going to look at what it looks like to reflect on Scripture as we prepare ourselves for the year ahead and for our lives with God. But, you know, being on a break, being having a bit of a holiday, it's been good. I love to listen to podcasts. It's one of the things I do just for fun. It's just the kind of fun guy I am. But as I've been kind of driving around and doing various things, I've been listening to a whole bunch of different podcasts. But one that I found recently is a little bit unusual for me, and I love the way that kind of God speaks to you sometimes out of left field and starts to catch your attention in places and from voices that you may not be so suspecting Him to speak through. And so I've been listening to Russell Brand's podcast called Under the Skin, which is interesting. I was drawn to it because of a topic that he was covering, and so I've been listening to a few different things, and I found it quite interesting to watch and listen to someone reinvent themselves in the public sphere as he is doing after going through rehab and all that kind of stuff. And so he's asking some really interesting questions about our culture and about the state of the world and that kind of thing. But one of the podcasts I listened to with him was he's interviewing this Shakespearean scholar who was talking about Shakespeare as this cultural text for the people of England that for them gives them a place to find their voice. That in this body of writing that Shakespeare composed hundreds of years ago, it's kind of this voice that the people of England and people all around the world can find their voice echoed. They can see their life experience. They can kind of find a way to express themselves in what's been written down by this guy. And I found that really interesting. I found it really kind of provocative in a certain way, just to think about how there is this idea of a text that we can find our voice in, and how Shakespeare played that role for a whole group of people, for a whole community of people. And one of the other episodes I listened to, he was interviewing a British journalist who had spent a lot of the last decade in Russia as a correspondent, covering the rise of Putin as a leader in Russia, and just the way that power dynamics work in that country with all of the oligarchs and crime bosses and the way the whole thing works together, and the place of power and the use of power to set agendas. And that all sounds weird. In the middle of it, he talked about these things they have in Moscow called troll factories, which when I first heard it, I thought, oh, it must be where they make those little figures with the spiky hair. It's not actually that at all. It's these warehouses full of uni students, Russian uni students, who are paid to make fake social media profiles, usually posing as Texan housewives or New York professionals, who then would get on social media and just spam it with pro-Russia agenda, whatever the government was saying it wanted to have promoted, they would get on and pretend to be someone else and start to share what they considered to be true. And I found it to be quite interesting. It started just to catch my attention about the idea that we look for some way of expressing ourselves, and yet then truth also becomes a tool in the hands of whoever's most powerful or whoever sets the agenda for the day. And as I started considering that and listening to that and thinking about this topic of reflecting on Scripture, it created, at least for me, an interesting tension. Because if this is what people are thinking about in the world, about how do we find our voice in a shared community space, how do we find a way to express our very real experiences, and if what is true can be set and negotiated and sold by those who hold the power, how do we reference what is really true? And when we come to the Scripture, that's really interesting for us as Christians, because for you and I, if we hold that Jesus is Lord and the Bible is His Word, then we have a text, we have a book or a series of books in which we find our voice, in which we find our lived experience and what is true for us, not true set by someone in power, but true set by God. And so it creates a really interesting space, because this is what people in the world are thinking about, and this is what's actually starting to stir up in topics. So I thought it'd be quite timely for us to stop at the start of this year and look at the Bible, reflect on the Bible, why it's important to us, and how maybe that you and I could adopt some very simple practices that will help us to both dig into the Bible, but also to just develop and grow a deeper intimacy with God that will hopefully challenge us to draw closer to Him. Let's just pray for a moment as we start this off. So, Father God, we stop here. We pause right at the beginning of the year. And, Lord, we've prayed already in this service. But, Lord, there's never too many times to stop and pray. And so as we stand here at the beginning of 2018 as a community that sits within this community of our city and all the families and the relationships that we have, as we stand here, Lord, would you just start to speak to us gently? Would you start to reveal yourself to us as we learn about your word and as we open your word? Holy Spirit, would you come and would you just open our eyes to see what it is that you've given us in your scriptures? Would you start to create in us a hunger and a desire to know you better? Would you start to stir something in us at the start of this year that will change the way we approach our lives as we journey with you? Amen. Amen. I'll just apologize to you up front if I seem to sweat more than I should or if I start being absolutely incoherent. I'm fighting off some kind of virus. So if I start to not make any sense, maybe just pray for an interpretation of what I'm talking about because I really think God will tell you what's going on. But anyway, we'll leave that be. So I want to talk about the importance of Scripture, why Scripture is really important to us. Because if you're at church, if you hang around church people for more than about 20 minutes, you realize that, oh, we should read our Bible. It's just a thing that Christians say, right? But the question comes down is, do we actually read the Bible? We would all tell everyone if we're at church, of course we read our Bible. But do we read it? And I suppose the more challenging question that comes from that is, if you do read it, what do you get out of it? Does it make sense? Do you understand it? Does it make any difference to your life? Because you can sit and read it, but if it doesn't make any sense, well, that's another whole thing. Our primary concern as Christians actually is to not have a relationship just with Scripture. As important as the Scripture is, and I don't want to underestimate the power and the importance of Scripture, but you know, the purpose of us as Christians, we're in a relationship, a vibrant personal relationship with the living God. That's our primary concern as Christians. We love God so that we can share His love with those around us. Scripture then helps us facilitate that relationship, to get to know Him better, to understand His ways. But it gets a little bit complicated because really, we want to know God as Christians and we know God really through two different ways. Predominantly, we know Him through two different ways. We experience God. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. When we said yes to Jesus as Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, and so we are able to experience the reality of God. The peace that doesn't make sense in our circumstances, hope when things seem hopeless, joy, all of those things that come with the presence of God dwelling with us. But not only do we experience God, but we also have the Scriptures. We can read and understand and grow in our knowledge of who He is, of what He's like, about what He's done and how He interacts with humanity. And our relationship with God goes best when we do both of these things together. We don't do one over the other. We don't play one off against the other, but we hold both of these things together and we pursue both. Because if you only pursue experience, if you prioritize experience over all else, then, look, I'm sorry, but you're going to fall into error. Because unless you know what God's like, you have a very real and present enemy who's trying to distract you and draw you away from God and take your eyes off Him and focus just on you and all of your stuff. So if we rely on experience alone, we miss and we can easily be led astray from where God wants us to be. But if we just rely on reading the Bible and learning information about God, then I think we make a mistake the other direction. Paul makes it really clear as he's unpacking what it looks like to miss God in the midst of being religious. He says, you know, if you spend all your time learning about God, memorizing information about this God, then really you end up having the appearance of godliness, but you deny its power. Knowing God and being in a relationship with Him creates a dynamic in us. Paul, in fact, goes on to express in that passage in 2 Timothy 3, he unpacks what it looks like to live in these last days where truth is negotiable, where people are trying to lead everyone else astray and gain what they can. And he said, you know, the people who are always trying to learn, to grow more, to gain more knowledge, they're missing the point. He says, actually, that there were those who will always learn, but they're never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. It's not about gathering information, and if you try and just learn as much as you can without knowing God, you miss the point. So Scripture is absolutely essential to our relationship with God. The question is, how does it actually do anything in your life? Like growing up in church, I'm like, are these like magic words? If I say them the right way, does all of a sudden everything change in my life? Is like some magic formula, you know, does something weird happen if I read the right passage of scripture and everything shifts? Well, how does it actually work? What happens? How do we actually transform our lives by reading scripture? Well, scripture has this power. Has the power to change us. In this series, we're talking about disciplines. We're talking about setting ourselves up to begin this year well. And so, you know, the power of discipline brings about change. If you're disciplined in anything in your life, if you set up a regular routine, it'll allow you to go beyond what you're normally capable of. If you introduce discipline in any area of your life, it's going to help you. However, when we look at spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines, it's not just the act of being disciplined that does something. There's a whole lot more going on. God's working in it in a whole different way. If I'm disciplined in reading, I'll learn a lot. But if I'm disciplined in reading scripture, I've got God in the mix and it changes it. So the Bible itself talks a lot about what happens when we deeply engage with scripture, when we read it and take it into our hearts and think about it. I'm going to give you a couple of passages which will hopefully just give you a bit of an understanding about why reading scripture is so important, about what it does in you. And the first is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, just a little bit further on from what we just read. This might be a familiar verse to you, so if you've got a Bible, grab it out. If it's on your phone, get it out. I encourage you, bring a Bible to church. I am the spiritual formation pastor. It's in my contract to remind you every time I'm up here to bring your Bible to church, but do it anyway because it's a good book. How are we going? Is everyone okay out there? I'm feeling like it's pretty quiet in here. Are you following with me? Some of you are. Great. Okay, the rest of you, just read your Bible. It's probably more interesting than me. Okay, let's 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So right there, as Paul is mentoring a young leader, he's saying, hey, get into scripture. It's useful to prepare you to live out what God has for you. If you want to be someone who then represents God to those around you, who knows about this Jesus and wants to live out a Jesus life well, scripture is so helpful for you. Scripture is going to prepare you, to train you, to equip you. But how does it do that? How does it change you? Well, this is where God comes into the mix. And in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul starts to talk about what it looks like to be changed by God. And Paul says to the church in Rome, I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. As we surrender ourselves to God, as we dwell on His Word, as we understand the truth of who He is and what He's doing in us, as we understand His perspective on the world, His plans and purposes for those that we love, for what's happening around us, as we allow God to show us those things as we read His Word, it changes the way we think. It changes the way we look at things. It transforms the way we approach the world and the people in it. If you think about it this way, as we make knowing God a priority in our life, and that's what worship is understanding who He is and giving Him worth because of that. As we worship Him, we become like what we worship. In the streams courses, in the transforming course particularly, we talk about this whole idea that what we fix our eyes on multiplies in us, grows in us. What we focus on is going to be replicated in us, in our minds, in our hearts, in our actions. And that's why the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. God transforms the way we think as we spend time thinking on Him. And this isn't just new. God's been doing this the whole way through the scriptures. In Isaiah, He makes this really interesting statement. He says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, as it goes out and does something, it makes it bring forth and sprout, it gives seed to the sower, and it gives bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, says the Lord, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God is doing something. Whenever he's at work, there's a purpose and a power in it. And he wants to bring about change and transformation. And our scripture is this way that God starts to change us at the core of who we are. A little bit earlier in the Old Testament, before Isaiah, you know, as God's setting up the nation of Israel, as he's setting up this people group that's going to be different to every other people on the face of the earth, this covenant people who are in this deep relationship with him, who are going to be the best example he could give to the world of what it looked like to live in his way. As he's setting this up in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, you know, you don't live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. There's something about God's word that as we daily dwell on it, as his communication becomes part of our daily life, our relationship with him starts to grow and blossom. We are sustained and nourished by who he is. And interestingly enough, Israel didn't do that real well. They tried, but it just didn't happen well. And they kind of lost the focus on that. And so by the time we get to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, as the author of Hebrews is recounting the fact that the Jewish people were given these promises of God, but they missed it and they lost it and they took their eyes off it and they stopped living by his daily word, they missed out on the rest and the blessing and the goodness that God had for them. And off the back of that, the author of Hebrews writes in chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." See, God says, live by my word daily, not because it's just something that you should do out of obligation, but because it's powerful and active in your life. Yeah. It does stuff in you. It cuts through the deepest part of your life as God's presence inhabits the words on that page, as the truth of who he is comes out from the scriptures and they start to do something in you. It cuts through to those places in your life where there's darkness and light fighting. It cuts through to those places so deep that you didn't even know they're there, where you're just struggling, where you need hope, where you need to cut off those lies that have been trapping you. Scripture is powerful to cut through the heart because it is God's living word. So, if you can take all that in, this whole idea of Scripture, our daily reflection on it, why it's important and powerful, Scripture then becomes that key with experiencing his presence. These two things become a key that helps us really start to work in conjunction with him in our lives. It creates this depth of openness with him. It creates an intimacy with him. It starts to open our eyes to see him at work. That just doesn't seem to happen in any other way. So how practically do we do that? How do we reflect on Scripture daily? What can we do to help develop these things in our lives? Well, this is probably the most important part, and it becomes kind of the pointy end of the conversation because I can tell you all about this stuff, but this is where it's got to become real. See, and as much as I would love to be able to, as much as all of our pastoral team would love to be able to, as much as your life group leaders would love to be able to, or your parents if they know Jesus, we would all love to be able to read your Bible for you, to pick it apart and find all the good bits and the nourishing bits that are going to help you walk your daily life with Jesus. But the simple fact of the matter is we can't do it for you. I can't read your Bible for you. I can pray for you. I can't do your praying for you though. I can read the Bible and come up here and share some of it with you, but what I give you today is not going to sustain you through the week. You need daily bread. There's no quick and easy way to do that, but when we do, it's so powerful. And I think if it was easy, we'd do it, right? Like if it was simple, if this was just, it's just jump in and do it and it's so easy, we'd all be doing it. But if you're really honest, well, maybe the person beside you isn't doing it and you know that and so you're going to be praying for them. But if we're really honest with ourselves, you know, do we actually do it? Do we actually dig in? Do we actually jump into Scripture daily and let God speak to us? A friend of mine is kind of worked in the same area that I do in spiritual formation and discipleship at a church down in New South Wales. And we were chatting about, you know, the awesome things that God's doing in our lives and in our churches and the challenges and the kind of things that we face as we do ministry. And he said, you know, his real concern was that the people in his church, good, wonderful, lovely Christians of all ages and maturity, genuine, lovely, humble people, they spent more time reading about the Bible than actually reading the Bible. They spent their time reading devotional books and Christian literature, but not actually reading the Bible itself. And that really got me thinking, how much do I do that? How often will I pick up a new book about God? How much do I read a devotional and hear someone else's opinion of what a passage means? And compared to how much I actually read the scripture for myself. What's that ratio? What does it look like? And is it a good number? Is it a healthy number? Am I spending all my time really in secondhand spirituality? Am I spending my time trying to eat someone else's bread that's a bit stale now? And don't get me wrong, reading Christian literature is amazing and powerful, and we should, and there's people who are wise and understanding and unpack things for us. And that aids us and it helps us grow, but we live daily by his word. Not by Tim Keller's word or Bill Johnson's word or Joe Luton's word or John Robertson's word. We don't live daily by that, we live by God's word. And I don't want us to end up as a generation of people who have a secondhand spirituality and an outsourced relationship with the Bible. But he said there's probably a reason for that. Because, you know, we're not really all at fault. It's kind of cultural at some level, because at some level it comes down to, and I think it's anecdotally true here as well, for him he said, it's because really we're a bit afraid of Scripture. If we're really honest with ourselves, we're a bit afraid of opening the Bible because we might find some stuff in there that we don't really understand. We might find stuff in there that challenges how we think. We might find something in there that, if someone at work who doesn't know God asks me, what does the Bible say about this? If I tell them what I just read, like, that's going to make me sound terrible or out of touch or out of date. And we kind of get afraid of, like, if I dig in there too deep, I might read something that I don't like and I don't know what to do with that. Which flows on to probably the other problem we have with reading the Bible is we just don't know how to handle it. All the different things. I mean, most of us hated doing poetry at school, so why am I going to read poetry for fun? Like, are you kidding me? You know, how do I handle all the weird stuff with the dragons and the wings and eyes? And like, I don't even know how this all works. What do I do with it? It can get confusing. And the last thing is probably in this, as someone who loves reading, you know, we don't read for pleasure so much anymore. It's just not something that we do culturally. It's just not a thing that we do so much. And that makes me terribly sad as someone who loves reading. But, you know, so even just the act of reading a book itself is something that we don't do that often. And so all of these things become barriers to us really engaging with Scripture. But that's why it becomes a discipline. That's why it becomes a spiritual practice. It's not just about making ourselves feel good. It's about being obedient to the one who's called us to know him better. And it takes time. My wife is an actor, and before we had kids, she spent a lot of time acting. Now she spends a lot of time helping kids understand how they should act. But, you know, she did a lot of Shakespeare, and so I went to a lot of Shakespeare performances. And has anyone ever seen a Shakespeare performance, you know, in real life? Great. Anyone ever seen a movie that's actually using the actual language from Shakespeare? Yeah, okay. So, like, for the first 15 minutes, you're like, I have no idea what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, at the start, you're like, oh my goodness, I cannot follow what's happening. And thankfully they're acting as well, so you kind of pick up on the story. But it takes a while for your ear to get used to it. You know, the Bible's just the same. It's not written in language that we would often talk about, the way we would use language. And so it takes time for your ears to get used to the language of the Bible. You know, I found too, it takes even longer for your heart to tune into the heart of God as it's in Scripture. And so just chucking in 2 minutes once a week, you know, you're not going to get used to it. You're not going to acclimatize. You're not going to stop long enough for your heart to start to understand God's heart. And so what I'd love to do is give you maybe just a really simple model, a really simple practice that you can pick up daily and start to engage with the Bible. Start to engage with God. Start to let Him speak to you. It's really simple. It uses the acronym SOAR, S-O-A-R. This morning someone misheard me and thought I said Saul, S-A-U-L, and they're like, this doesn't make any sense. SOAR, S-O-A-R. And it's really simple. It stands for four words: Scripture, Observation, Application, and Response. Now, if you already have a way of reading the Bible daily and you do that, great. I want to celebrate you and thank you and encourage you to keep going after it. But if you don't have a grid, you don't need to go and buy another devotional. You don't need to do that. You can do it on your own. You can do it. You and God together can do this. And I believe you can do it. I'll back you to do it. And it starts really simply. All you need to do is just pick a passage of Scripture and read it. S, Scripture, pick something and read it. I don't care. Just open up and start somewhere. You're not looking for eternal guidance. You're just going to start reading the Bible. Just open it up and read it. If you don't know where to start and you're new to this whole God thing, start in one of the Gospels. Start with the Gospel of Mark. I've been reading that in my quiet times and it's been great. Confusing as anything and wonderfully exciting, and just read it. If you're feeling terrible about life, if stuff's gone wrong for you, if you're struggling to get a handle on things, start in the Psalms. If you're up for a challenge, you really want to be pushed, read Deuteronomy. If you like Pastor Ryan and you just want to be out in the community transforming your workplace, read Timothy and Peter, what it looks like to mentor someone up who's actually out in the coalface of the world dealing with the problems of everyday life where people who don't know God live their lives. Just pick something. You know, you've got an app on your phone, I'm sure. Grab that. Find a reading plan. Not a devotional series, but a reading plan. If you don't have one, we have a whole stack of printed ones out at the help desk, the info desk. You can grab one straight after the service, in fact. But start with something. Just start with anything. So that's Scripture, S. O, observation is the next thing you need to do. All that means is you just want to look at what the passage means in its context. What does this mean? What's going on right here? What's happening? What's the language, like all that kind of stuff, which sounds like a bit of a challenge. Like if I could do that, I probably wouldn't be not reading my Bible, right? But I want to give you three pretty simple words that help you understand this whole observation thing. Three really simple things. These are all in your notes, so I encourage you to take it home. I don't want to find any on the floor afterwards. Doug, our cleaner, doesn't want to have to pick them up, so make sure you take your outline home with you tonight. Three simple words that help you observe what's going on in that passage. Context, support, and illumination. Context. When you read a verse in the Bible, read the one before and after it. If you're reading a chapter, read the chapter before and after it. Look for those little bold headings in the Scripture that kind of say what's going on in that section. If you've got a study Bible, go to the front and read about who's this letter being written to? What's the context? When in history was it written? Just do a little bit of background reading. 2 minutes will actually help you. If you don't have a study Bible, as soon as this message finishes, get on your phone, order one from Kuron. Get one straight away. They're so helpful. They're so useful. It unpacks all of these things that you don't have to go and find somewhere else. But start to look at the context. Context makes so much sense. You can make any verse say just about anything if you remove it from its context. But if you put it where God placed it, it's going to start to be so meaningful to you. So after your context, you want to look for some support. Now, if your Bible's anything like mine, and no doubt it is, there's this tiny little kind of fly speck writing in the middle. This tiny little stuff that you can barely see in the margins. It's a whole list of Bible verses. Those things are really helpful. They're going to lead you to other passages of Scripture that support this idea or this topic that is being spoken about. Follow them. Read through. Just flick through. Learn where the books are and just follow around and look where you're going. Because you know what? The beautiful thing about how Scripture is put together is that there's not really any one idea that's contained in only one section, particularly in the big important things about faith. And so as you're reading a passage, and if it's not making a lot of sense, flick around. See what other books say about it. Read the other gospel accounts of the same event. See what's happening. Scripture is going to help you understand it as you explore it. So look for support. And then finally, illumination. You know, illumination really helps us get this whole application and response part of SOAR working, because illumination is where the Holy Spirit gets invited into the process. He's already there in all the other parts, but it's where we stop long enough to say, Holy Spirit, would you come and help me understand this passage? As I read it, as I look where it sits in the big story of Scripture, would you just help me understand that? And would you find something that I can apply out of this? Because you don't just want to read it and observe it and have information about God. That's going to lead you to a form of godliness, but you're not going to have the vibrant power that comes from experiencing and knowing God. As you read Scripture, as you open it up, God's going to show you what you can apply to your life then and there. Ask Him, as you're reading it with God, say, what do you want me to apply to my life out of this? And then the last thing is response. You know, this faith that we have is not an intellectual exercise. It's real and visceral. It's gutsy and tangible. It's stuff that actually changes the way I live and breathe and act. And so if I learn something about God, He's showing me so that I can change the way I behave, that I can do my life differently in the context of my relationships and all the places that He's called me. So as you read the Bible, He's going to give you something to do. It might look like praying for people. It might look like changing what you do. It might look like generosity, all sorts of things. But let God give you a response to Him in that and ask Holy Spirit to show you. You know, all of this exists in community. We do all this together because as a family, as we start to dig into Scripture and God starts to show us who He is and what He means for us, we get to share that in community. And Pastor Ryan's going to unpack that next week as we finish off this series. But, you know, share what God's showing you. Grab a journal. You saved all that money on not buying the latest book from whoever. Just buy a cheap journal and write down what you learn. And take it to life group. Take it to the coffee shop. Take it to the lunchroom at work. Whatever you're doing, say, hey, here's what God's been talking to me about. How amazing is that? And you watch, as you start to just take these small steps with God, He's going to start to change the way you think. He's going to excite those people around you. The things that are like mountains in your life right now will start to look totally different from His perspective as you start to let your relationship with Him come alive with the truth of who He is. So as we prepare these messages, you know, Pastor John always says, make sure there's some kind of response. So I was thinking maybe we could just sit now and we could all do a devotional quietly together. But I thought, no, that's probably, you know, Sunday night. You probably will fall asleep if you're not already. So, but what do we do to respond is that you go home and you do this. That tomorrow morning you get up and you just spend some time reading the Word. All the notes that you need are in that outline. There's some instructions on how to actually just stop and do a devotional tomorrow morning. It's all there for you. It's up to you to do it. This is what ownership looks like. This is what growing in our faith looks like as we stop and we take ownership for ourselves of this journey with God. You know, applying the Word of God to your life is what brings change. Penny loves to tell the story. She doesn't even remember where she heard it, but this great story of a young mom who was a brand new Christian came to a pastor and said, my child has terrible nappy rash. What can I do? What has God got to say about this? And the pastor says, well, pray and just apply the Word of God. So not knowing any different, she went home and tore a page out of her Bible and stuck it in the kid's nappy. And sure enough, the nappy rash went away. And I'm not going to talk about the simple faith of that, but maybe don't go and tear your Bible out and stick it on your problems. But, you know, the principal sense, apply the Word of God to your life. Don't be so literal, but do it, you know, spiritually. Apply the Word of God to your life. Do something practical. Take what He shows you. And do something with it in your life. And I challenge you, it's not going to be easy to start with. It's a simple process, but it's not easy. But you know what? As I was just praying about this message, I was just reminded of those words of King David. And he said, I'm not going to offer the Lord something which costs me nothing. And if knowing Him better is part of our spiritual act of worship, then I don't want to offer the Lord something which costs me nothing. I don't want to cheat secondhand spirituality, a faith that's just reliant on someone else's opinion about God. I want to know Him and I want to spend the time to get to know Him and I want to offer Him something that's of great worth. And so I would challenge you this year to start. You know, after a week, it may not feel any different. But maybe after a month, you might go, hey, I'm starting to get my head around who God is and what He's got for my life. And maybe after 3 months, by the time we get to Easter, you might go, hey, I'm learning so much and it's changing the way I approach everything. And maybe by the end of the year of every day just waiting on His Word, it's going to transform the way that you live your life. Like, He can do anything if you give Him the time and the space. So I want to challenge you to go after it, to try it out. You know, we have a whole pastoral team here that can help you and give you advice, but there's nothing stopping you. Just opening up that Word tomorrow morning, opening up that Bible and going, God, what do You have to say to me? So I'd ask you to stand now. I'm going to pray for you because The beautiful part of doing this is that we're not in it alone. You know, we don't have to do this. This isn't us trying to be kind of, you know, doing our religious obligation to work ourselves to God and to kind of present ourselves as a better Christian because we read our Bible every day this week. But this is a simple act of obedience that gives God the space to step into our lives and transform us. And the beautiful part is that God's working in the process always. You may not even realize it yet. You might think this whole thing is just crazy and I'm just waffling on and will you shut up so I can get to dinner. But you know what? I challenge you. God is working in the process. Stop and invite Him into what you're doing. Open His Word and let Him speak to your heart. You know, as Paul wrote letters to the people that he was pastoring, he always prayed for them and he gave them these most amazing blessings from God. And so I want to pray one of those blessings over you tonight. And so I'd ask you to just close your eyes just to take away the distractions of the people around you, that you can just spend a moment with God right now. I don't want you to feel condemned if you haven't been reading your Bible. I don't want you to feel proud if you have. But I just want you to have a moment with God right now. And you know, in this verse that I'm going to read from Ephesians 1, Paul uses the word give, that God would give something. And so I just want to encourage you right now, would you just position your hearts and your minds, and even your bodies, if that helps your focus, that God wants to give you something. So be ready to receive something from Him. And Paul prays this prayer, and it's just so wonderful and powerful, and tells us that God is working with us in this process of knowing Him better. And he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who is the Father of glory, he asks that He may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. So Father, as Paul prayed for those in Ephesus, I would pray right now that You would give a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that Your Holy Spirit would come, that would bring such an understanding of who You are that it would change our life, and that we would have the truth of who You are revealed to us. Holy Spirit, would You come into this place right now? We love You, we thank You, and we ask that You would come right now. Lord, I'd ask that over every heart in this place, over every person who's standing in here, Holy Spirit, would You come and start to just open the eyes of their heart? Would You open the truth of who You are and the beautiful, exciting mysteries of the truth of Your person that You've hidden in this Word? Would You come and would You start to reveal them to us? You say that no one can know the mind of God, but by Your Spirit, You help us to know who You are. So Lord, would You come? We ask You to come. At the start of this year, would You come and start a passion in us for who You are, for Your Word, for the revelation of Your truth? Would You start that passion in us now? And Lord, I thank You that out of that small act of obedience, Lord, You can transform our lives so that we may transform the world around us in Your power and in Your name. So Holy Spirit, would You come? We welcome You in this place and I ask, like on that day of Pentecost, You come and rest on every person. And we would not be satisfied until our experience of You matches our passion for Your Word. And we would see our lives transformed in Your name.